Can you just tell me broadly about your goals in your time, in your relatively brief time, that you're going to be interim chancellor?
Sure. Several goals I'll be focusing on in the next few months. One is to get the College of Medicine moving forward. It is moving forward, but to continue the movement forward. So our next big task on that is to get the dean search going, and we're working on that as we speak, and making sure we continue to make progress toward establishing this new College of Medicine. So that'll be a pretty sizable and significant goal. Second goal is to manage and deal with the budget cuts that we know are coming. We don't know what they're going to look like at this point in time because of what's happening at the state level, but we can't sit around and wait for that. We have to think about how to model some cuts and how to make decisions going forward. Third, I think, goal for me is to restore trust and to help our campus come together. We've had some challenging months, and I think it's important that whoever's in this position works hard to bring the faculty and staff together and help them see the future in positive ways.
What do you think is the biggest challenge the campus faces right now? And, you know, in your relatively brief time, as I mentioned, as interim, what can you do to help those challenges not affect, you know, students or the academic mission of the university?
Well, I don't know if there's any one biggest challenge, honestly. I think in higher ed there are many challenges, so I'd be a little hard-pressed to point to the biggest challenge. But if you forced me, I would probably say the budget right now is the biggest challenge. And it's a lot of uncertainty, which is hard. It's hard to manage uncertainty. And it would be helpful if we had more clear information and we had a budget. So I'm, you know, putting my plug in for the legislators and the governor to try to reconcile the budget situation so that we can begin to plan for the coming years, which, you know, we have to do. So,
and I know it's not necessarily your area of expertise, but if you had to pinpoint a number, you know, the governor has floated a, you know, basically a third of the higher education budget cut. The General Assembly had floated 6%. Is there any number that you have in your mind that you could live with?
Any budget cut is devastating. 30% would be crippling for us. There's no doubt about it. I couldn't say that I am wishing any percent at this point, but obviously smaller is better, and we will do our hard work and good work at figuring out how to manage whatever cuts we face, but those bigger percentages would be really difficult for an institution of this caliber to manage.
How concerned are you about faculty brain drain? We had the recent example of top engineering professor John Rogers being lured away to Northwestern. And, you know, I've had faculty tell me that it's very difficult to recruit someone to essentially the middle of cornfields in a state whose retirement system is at best looking really tenuous right now. You know, and bonuses have become kind of a dirty word. So how hard is it to recruit, and how much harder is it to retain top faculty?
Well, you know, we just recruited 120 new faculty that started this year. And as dean, I can tell you that we were very successful in most of our searches. So I don't think we're at a point yet where it's hard to recruit faculty. It's always difficult to recruit the best because the competition is fierce out there. And so we're constantly trying to ensure that we have, that we hire the best and that we bring them here and we support them well. And I would say last year was a great year for that. Going forward, and so let me then talk about retentions a little bit. When I was department head, and as dean, retentions are a constant threat. I used to say I'm on a retention river, and all I'm doing is, you know, getting my oar out and frantically trying to keep move forward as a leader. But the good news is you don't want to be at a campus where nobody's trying to get your faculty, because that means you don't have excellent faculty. So the positive side of retention is that if people are coming after your faculty, you've hired well and you have great people here, and that is absolutely true at Illinois. How do we keep people here? We have to work hard on ensuring that we reward them and that we connect them to colleagues so that they can't leave easily. And last year in LAS, we had a large number of retention cases, as we always do, and we were successful in most of them. People come here to work with great colleagues and great students, and it's hard to find that at other institutions. So we're going to continue to work hard on retention, and we will lose some, and it will be difficult when the privates pull out all of their stops and go after key people. John Rogers is an example of that. It's hard to compete when the privates come after a particular individual, but we've succeeded in some cases, and we'll continue to work hard to do that.
You've been here at U of I for years now and been through quite a few administrative shakeups, like Category I, the law school, and most recently your predecessor, Chancellor Wise, and her emails. Do you think that there is a culture of corruption here at the university?
No, I don't. I think that this is a big and complex organization, and there are always going to be challenges in leading and moving an organization of this size forward. It's like running a city, basically. I think all those instances that you reported are different, and I wouldn't want to conclude anything about our culture because of any particular instances.
You have deep familiarity with two other highly regarded state university systems, the University of Wisconsin and the University of California. What do you think the University of Illinois can learn from those two systems?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know. They're just very different. I'll say what I think is distinct and wonderful about Illinois compared to some other places I've been. I think that this is a place where community is really strong, and people are here working in their offices and in their labs and in their classrooms on a regular basis. We don't have a lot of distractions here. Some people say, why would you want to be in the middle of the prairie? And I would like to flip it and say, this is a great place to be, actually. People are very invested in this institution. They're around all the time. They're working really hard. There are no distractions here. And it makes for a very, very vibrant community of scholars. And I think students benefit from that. Other places I've been, you can walk the halls and you don't see faculty, you don't get to meet them, you don't get to work with them. This is a place where there are no barriers, and it's really easy to collaborate and get involved. And I think that's part of what makes Illinois so great.
Your predecessor, Phyllis Wise, put quite an emphasis on online education, pushed for more massive open online courses, MOOCs, or other online classes. Do you still think that's the shiny, promising thing that it once was?
I think we're spending a lot of time looking at hybrid opportunities for students, sometimes fully online courses, sometimes mixed kinds of opportunities where some of the work can be done online and some of the work is done face-to-face. The research really suggests that kind of mixed model is a really good way to approach learning. And what we want to do is provide students with options that will allow them to finish in 4 years and that will give them the best educational experience possible. So we've opened up some online courses during the summer. We've started a winter term for some online courses. Students go home for the winter break and they're bored, and it's an opportunity to take a class, and those have been very popular and really successful. So I think those are the kinds of experiments and opportunities we're going to be looking closely at in the coming years.
Recently, there's been a lot of discussion about higher education is supposed to be the great equalizer, but especially for students who are coming into the university from educational backgrounds where they weren't given, enough instruction in high school, there's a lot of questions about, how well they perform in college and if they're even able to make it to graduation. What can the university do to be supporting those students? Is it implementing new programs? Is it implementing entirely new classes for remedial instruction to catch them up? What do we need to do to invest in these students to make sure that they do make it to graduation?
I think we're already doing a lot of that, so I'm really proud. Our freshman retention rate at Illinois is 93%. Our graduation rate is among the highest in the country, the six-year graduation rate, and we've closed the gap between students from certain backgrounds and students who are, in, as you point out, better resourced backgrounds. We're not going to stop working on the kinds of things we're doing, but we already do a lot. We have lots of tutoring opportunities on this campus. We have support systems for students. We have special merit sections for students. We're doing a lot at the ground level to ensure student success here, and I'm really quite proud of Illinois for that.
From time to time, the campus has to look at certain academic units that aren't, you know, drawing as many faculty or students as they once were, and think about shutting them down. Is that a path that you want to go down? I know that it was a big deal when, for example, the aviation school shut down. Is that something that you want to dip your toes in?
I think we'll be looking at everything we do and trying to make decisions about what we need to do and continue to do, and if there are certain things we need to stop doing. And I'll look to the deans and our faculty colleagues to lead the way on some of those decisions. You know, we can't do everything. And we have to decide, if you want to do this, what are you going to stop doing? That's sort of been my mantra. You know, I'd love to help you start this up, but we can't start this up unless we stop something else, because there aren't endless funds. And we really need our colleagues to figure those kinds of things out and to figure out where the future is. So I don't like to get caught up in whether we're shutting departments down, but rather, how are we thinking about the future? Does it make sense for us to build new things? If so, then what are we going to stop doing, and how are we going to organize ourselves in ways that will allow us to be the best we can be?